story that's told about a great Rav who was teaching in the Beit Medrash to his Talmidim. A man walked into the study hall and asked him a peculiar question. He turned to the rabbi and said, "I am a Kohen, and I want to know if it's permissible for me to take a divorced woman." So the rabbi, with a twinkle in his eye and a little bit of a smile, turned to this man and said, "It's not a problem. Go ahead. You can take her." The man thanked the rabbi profusely and there turned around and exited the Beis Medrash. The Talmidim were completely baffled, perplexed by the response of their teacher. "Rebbe, I do not understand. How could you have made such a simple mistake? The man said that he was a Kohen. How could you possibly have allowed him to marry a Gerusha, in which the Torah clearly forbids a Kohen to marry a divorced woman?" And the rabbi turned to his Talmidim and said, "You do not understand the entire situation. You see, this man that walked in, he's a very simple man, but a God-fearing man. A person who wants to do the right thing. And you're also not aware of his profession. This man is a taxi driver. And he was asking a question. Being that he was a Kohen, he was not sure if he was allowed to take a divorced woman into his taxi and to drive her to a different location. And on this, I said, certainly, you can take her." The moral of this story is how important it is to always be done the kaschus. Even though we may very easily paint the picture in a negative fashion that gives the impression that someone is doing something wrong, but we need to look a little bit deeper into the story, into the situation, and to always judge and to view people with a positive lens. The difficulty with this is Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's Parsha. Moshe is confronted with two tribes, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven, and their desire to forsake living in Canaan and rather to live in the Transjordan. On this, Moshe turns to B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven and says, "Ha'acheichem yavol nolchama, diatem teishvu po." The audacity that your brothers are going to risk life and limb fighting for the land of Canaan, and you wish to just turn your backs on them. The temptation of Paul, just going to sit here. And then the Torah continues to hear this monologue from Moshe Rabbeinu, giving words of rebuke and tochacha to the children of God and Reuven. Until finally, the pasuk tells us that they approached Moshe again, and they said, "V'nachnu necholetz chushim lifnei b'nei Yisrael," that we will join the Jewish people, and we will fight. The difficulty is that the very fact that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven are willing to offer their services in battle, immediately after this response of Moshe, without any further discussion among themselves, was a clear indication that B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven understood that they always were going to fight. They were certainly not going to let their brothers be engaged in battle and they would sit on the Transjordan and do nothing. Why then did Moshe continue, pasuk after pasuk, to speak words of rebuke to these children of Gad and Reuven? Couldn't Moshe have figured out that probably their motivation was in fact to help the rest of Klal Yisrael? Why wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu done l'kaf schus? Why didn't he judge favorably? It's fascinating that at the very beginning of our parsha, we find a discussion of oaths and vows. And the Torah tells us, V'im heini avia usa b'yom shemo, that if the father would hear the vow that was made by the daughter on that very day, for example, that she wishes to accept upon herself to become a Nazira, to not drink wine, to not become contaminated with Mesim, with the deceased. So if he overhears this, says the Torah, Kol Nidareha V'Asareha, Asher Asra Al-Nasha Lo Yakum, that everything that she said, it will not stand. It will be as though she never said it. But what's most difficult are the next three words of this pasuk. Vahashem yislach la, and Hashem will forgive her. On this, Rashi wonders, what do you mean, Vahashem yislach la? What did this girl do wrong? And Rashi tells us, b'makos medaber, and what this is referring to, b'isha shenadra b'nazir, that it's referring to a girl, a woman who says, I wish to be a nazir, and she makes a neder to that effect. V'shamu b'ala, the hafer of Elilo Yada'a. This was annulled, but it was done without her knowledge, without her consent, which is okay. It does not need to be done in her presence, the annulment of such a vow. And she, thinking that in fact, she is still a nazir, Valveres al Nidara v'shoseyayin v'tumla mesim, she says, I don't care, I'm going to drink wine, I'm going to become contaminated with mason, with the deceased. Zuhi shesricha slicha. This is the woman that needs an atonement, forgiveness. And on this, Rashi concludes, Vim hamofren srichin slicha, kavachomer l'sheinu mofren. This woman who this vow was already removed needs a forgiveness, then certainly a person whose vow was not removed and had drank wine and was tame to mason, all the more so will they need kapara, will they need forgiveness. And along this same theme, the Gemara toward the very end, the Masechet Kedushin on Pei Alva Midbeis, quotes the words of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, every single time Parshas Matos was read, he used to cry bitter tears. Ki havi matilai psuka, havi bachi. He would cry whenever he read that pasuk. And of course, the chisaron, our lack of emotions, how we become desensitized, that we do not cry. But what was the reason for Rabbi Akiva's tears? And he said, Ma, mi shenischaven l'echol basar chazir v'ol b'yado basar tleh amr tar esrichin kapara uslicha mi shenischaven l'echol basar chazir v'ol b'yado basar chazir alachas kam v'kam. A person wants to eat treif. You want to eat a cheeseburger. You want to eat a piece of pork. And it turns out that even though you ate it with that kavana, it turned out it was 100% kosher, it was glat kosher, l'chol adeis. Based on this Rashi, that person also needs to ask for forgiveness. Just like this girl that thought she was violating her vow. But since it was annulled, it turned out that in fact she did not violate it. Nonetheless, Vashem Yislach La. So Lachas Kama V'Kama, a person who wishes to eat Chazir and is successful in this sin, so much more so must they ask for forgiveness. What exactly is going on? Why do we need to ask for forgiveness if in fact I did not commit a sin? It's true I was thinking it was a piece of pig, but it wasn't. I ate kosher. So why would I need to ask for forgiveness? And this woman, she did not violate any vow. It was removed. So why, Vahashem Yislach Lo? And on this, we must realize that when it comes to every Avera, there are two elements to sin. One is the action, actually committing that Avera. But clearly based on this Chazal, one is also accountable for our minds, our intentions behind the action. That even though I didn't physically do anything wrong, but I'm also held accountable for what goes on in my mind. The purpose of Torah is not just to go through the motions, but it's to create a positive effect within us all. The Mishnah in Perkei Avos, in the second parak, tells us that five students were asked to go and to find out Ezuhi Derech Tova Shiyidbach Bo Adam, to go out and to discern which is the proper way to which a man should cling. And on this, the greatest answer that was produced was the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar Omer Lev Tov, to have a good heart. And on this, his Rebbe said, Roa ani es divrei Elazar ben Aruch, shebechlal divarav divreichem, that Rebbe Elazar's words are the best words. It's the most correct answer to my question, for his words are included in his words. That all the other answers, a good neighbor, a good friend, knowing the outcome of a deed, all of these things are connected to a Lev Tov. Says Rashi, Shahakol Tolui Belev. Everything is dependent on the heart. Now that's not to say that when it comes to the performance of mitzvos, all we have to do is think, because we are a religion of action. But clearly the purpose of Torah is not just to go through the motions, and as the Rav Soloveitchik says, we're not robots. We're not just supposed to push a bunch of buttons and just do the mitzvos. They're supposed to transform us into something better, to something different, something special. And I believe this is Moshe Rabbeinu's complaint. Moshe understood that these people at some point are going to engage in battle with the rest of the tribes of Israel. Moshe realized that they were not just going to stay in the Transjordan. But if you study these sentences, Moshe Rabbeinu's objection, a man who himself would not be able to step foot into the land of Eretz Canaan, turned to these children of God and Reuven and said, how could you possibly pass up on the opportunity of wanting to live in such a beautiful land that you wish instead to live on the east side of the Jordan River? Moshe was not criticizing them and critiquing them, saying that you're not going to fight. What bothered Moshe was, how could you make this choice? How could you possibly give up this land of Eretz Yisrael for something else? And I believe this is a crucial message. As we are here currently, during the 3 weeks, in a time in which we study history and how closely connected it is to this day and age, our current situation in Eretz Yisrael, during the 3 weeks, we're supposed to go through certain signs of avelus, a public mourning, ultimately getting more and more intense, reaching Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But as we refrain from saying Shechianu and getting haircuts or marriage, do we realize why we're not getting haircuts? Do we understand the bigger overarching problem and the bigger issue involved? And that is that we are in Golus. We are without the Beis HaMikdash. And the purpose of these 3 weeks is not just to go through the motions, but for us to be affected in our hearts, to have a connection, an emotional connection, and to feel the pain of lacking the Beis HaMikdash. May we all be zocha during these 3 weeks to go above and beyond the basic halachos, certainly to observe them and to follow each one meticulously as whatever one's halachot or minhagim of this community is. But to realize, just like that girl, Vashem Yislach Lo, that it's more than just the action, but it's the intention behind the action. And to realize, just like Rabbi Akiva who shed those bitter tears, realizing that even a person who has the intention to eat chazir, even if he doesn't, there's a tremendous flaw because they are lacking an internal connection to God and to the desire to do His will. And when we think of Bnei Gad of Bnei Reuven, do we wish to emulate those tribes? Tribes that are concerned over their financial well-being, looking at their cattle and their sheep and saying that this is a better place for us to live, a better place for us to be able to function and to be able to survive. Is that how we feel today in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora? Are we truly feeling the lack and the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? It's said that in every generation, the Beis HaMikdash can be rebuilt. But how could we possibly expect it to be rebuilt than when we do not truly believe that we want it to be rebuilt? Let us go through those motions. Let us follow the laws of the 3 weeks. But more importantly, internalize it. And when we do so, may we be zochet to see the building of the Beis HaMikdash v'mehera b'yameinu speedily in our days.